Then the neighbor came over and she said,
what is the weaker one? Yeah, it's the way that my way in the house. And what was that thing called, Dad?
I don't know, it's after church.
Dad.
Shh, this is quiet.
So open with hymn number 3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, who didst through thy Son promise us thy Holy Spirit, that he should convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, we beseech thee, enlighten our hearts, that we may confess our sins through faith in Christ, obtain everlasting righteousness, and in all our trials and temptations, retain this consolation, that Christ is Lord over the devil and death and all things, and that he will graciously deliver us out of all our afflictions and make us forever partakers of eternal salvation. Through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this fourth Sunday after Easter is found in the 49th chapter of Isaiah, the 1st through the 15th verse. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me. He made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he has hidden me. And he said to me, "You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Then I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel. And he has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you. And in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, 'Go forth,' and to those who are in darkness, 'Show yourselves.' They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of waters he will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from far. Look, those from the north and the east, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people, and will have mercy on his afflicted. But Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me.' Can a woman forget her nursing child, and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you." Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the first chapter of James, the 16th through the 21st verse. "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Here ends the epistle lesson. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Hallelujah. Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The gospel is found in the 16th chapter of John, the fifth through the 15th verse.
Glory be to thee.
But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away.
Mama.
For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing hymn number 237.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 16th chapter of John, the 5th through the 15th verse. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Enlighten us by thy Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Christian friends, how much can you accomplish purely on the strength of your convictions? Well, that all depends upon whether your convictions are true, or if not true, at least practical. No man on the strength of his convictions alone can jump off a cliff and expect to fly to safety. The strength of one's convictions does not make them true, nor does it even necessarily make them helpful. This lesson records the words which Jesus spoke right before last Sunday's text, when Jesus told his disciples of the little while when they would not see him. These words hint at the future beyond the grave, beyond Jesus' appearances after his resurrection. He would go away and they would not see him. His purpose in leaving was not to abandon us, however. On the contrary, he went away so that he could work more effectively in the church than he could when he walked and talked with his disciples. He sent us his Holy Spirit, whom he calls the Spirit of Truth. Now, the Spirit of Truth also has convictions. Only his run the other direction. He is not the one who needs convincing. It is the world itself who must be convinced and convicted. Indeed, you could well say that the Holy Spirit overturns the convictions which men already have, and he convicts them with the truth. He convicts the world, Jesus says, in three ways. He convicts them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. In all three of these areas, what the world is convinced that they know, as the saying goes, isn't so. First, the Holy Spirit will come and convict the world of sin. This is the starting point for every work that he does with men. No man is ready for the work of the Spirit until this first takes place, that he is brought to his knees as he faces his own sin. And the greatest sin of all is the sin of unbelief. Every sin that a man might commit may be forgiven if he but repent and believe on Jesus. But the sin of unbelief cuts men off entirely from the mercy and compassion of God. For God will not save men except through faith. But faith is the opposite of unbelief. Likewise, of all the sins that a man might commit, here is the one sin that his conscience does not know anything about. Because no one can know that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And yet, by the strength of the Spirit's conviction, a man comes to know his sin in the place where it has made its deepest mark, in the wounds and stripes of Jesus. And so you see, just as Jesus said, in all the things that the Spirit does, he takes what is already Jesus's and gives it to men. Think carefully on these words which Jesus says. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin because they do not believe on him. First, this means that the world is all entirely guilty of sin. And their natural estate also includes the sin of unbelief. Jesus does not make any exceptions. Whether for the noble savage who follows his conscience and attempts to do what is right, or for the monotheists of various religions, because it is not enough to know that there is a God. For there is only one name, not many, whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. Now, if all the world is guilty of the sin of unbelief, it stands to reason without a doubt that the only thing that stands between them and salvation is their unbelief, their lack of faith. Jesus, who speaks these words, has paid the full cost for the sins of the world. If he had not paid the cost for all sin, then not all the world could be convicted of unbelief, because Jesus would not have died for all the world. If there were any sin left for man to pay, then there is nothing for man to believe in the first place. What exactly is there to believe about Jesus if man and not Jesus must pay for sin? This is further emphasized by Jesus when he speaks of the next conviction of the Spirit, righteousness. The Spirit bears witness of this second thing which belongs to Jesus, his righteousness, which has been won not just for a few, but also for the entire world. And therefore, the Spirit, Jesus says, does not convict only believers, but also the unbelievers, that the righteousness of Jesus is perfect, complete, and sufficient to cover all men. It was sealed and made certain on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, and it was established as an everlasting covenant by his ascension into heaven. Because now he dwells sitting at the right hand of the Father as the mediator of the New Testament of his blood. If his righteousness were not for all men, then the Spirit of truth could not convict the world of this righteousness, but only a part of the world. No, the same world that is convicted of sin because it does not believe in Jesus is also convicted of the perfect righteousness that covers all their sins, convicted of it even when they do not believe in him. The two go hand in hand, for with the righteousness of Jesus covering all the sins of all men. And so Jesus himself is the source of this truth, that the righteousness of Jesus has already been won for the entire world. The Father in heaven pronounced that universal pardon when Jesus rose from the dead. And yet where there is unbelief, the pardon which has been won for all men goes wasted. It should be theirs, but it is not. For their unbelief separates them from the mercy of God. Salvation is only by faith, and therefore no man can partake of the righteousness which Jesus has already given to the world, except by faith. It is not faith to believe only what our eyes can see. And therefore Jesus says he must go away to the Father, and the disciples and the world would see him no more. And this was for their benefit, that their salvation might be by faith and not by sight, not by the reason of man, but by the conviction of the Spirit of God. how dreadful it is that in Jesus is the universal pardon of the entire human race, and yet that same race almost entirely refuses to believe in the only name by which they can and should be saved. It is not because they are ignorant. God says that they are all without excuse because the witness of the Holy Spirit has taken away that excuse. The Lord has declared through his word and preaching to the entire world the name of Jesus. It is not God who refused to offer. It is man who refused to believe. And therefore, when the Spirit convicts the entire world of the righteousness of Jesus, and when every last man, woman, and child, even those who denied him, know that in Jesus all of their righteousness is found, it will be too late. Their unbelief leaves them only one destiny, the same judgment by which Satan, the prince of this world, is judged. And this is the third thing that the Spirit of truth convicts the world, that all men will finally face the same judgment that Satan himself has faced because of their unbelief. The eternal fire of judgment of which Jesus speaks here was not first prepared for men. Jesus says it was prepared for the devil and his angels. The first sin of unbelief was not found in the Garden of Eden, but in the heart of the devil. He, in his pride, strove against the God who created him and opposed what the Lord had decided to do. He wanted to lift himself up above God and rule this world. Since he and his minions were cast out of heaven, they have ruled over the men of this world. Jesus calls him the ruler of this world, because indeed it is so that men do, that the devil does all in his power to cause men to oppose the works of God, and in their unbelief they follow their master. Satan desires the destruction of men, and he would prevent anyone possible from believing in the name of Jesus. And he does this because he knows the doom which already awaits him. Jesus assured it when he died and rose again. And as much as the devil might rule the hearts of men here, the fact that Jesus ascended into heaven shows that he rules the entire universe. By going away to the Father, the same Jesus who died now lives and reigns over all. And this is the final nail in Satan's coffin. How ironic that by withdrawing his visible presence from the world, Jesus assured the last judgment of the devil. Misery loves company, as they say, and the devil is seeking to have a lot of company when he and his angels and all the inhabitants of Hades who await the end of the world are cast into the place of fire for all eternity. This, then, is the final conviction of the Spirit, that all who participated in the sin of the devil by their unbelief will receive the devil's judgment. Their Lord and Master will be no use to them then, because he himself, that is the devil, is judged along with the rest of the world. All these things the Spirit of truth declares right now to the entire world through the preaching of the Word of God. The work of the Spirit could very well be described as subtle. The world hardly knows that it is happening, because they do not see some almighty disembodied force at work. They see men whom God has sent, convicting the world of sin, declaring the righteousness of Jesus, and pronouncing the surety of the final judgment. Jesus calls the coming Spirit the Helper, because he does not work in isolation. He works in and through Christians by the Word of God. And he takes the words of Jesus and he declares them unto us. And so even as the world is convicted by the Spirit of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, we are convinced and comforted by the truth of that same spirit. When Jesus was with his disciples, they loved him, but they were not ready to hear the many things that they would need to know. Jesus says, you cannot bear to hear them now, even though I still have many things to say to you. And Jesus is not chiding them. He is being their dear friend and father and shepherd. They believed on him, but they did not know everything yet, not everything that they needed to know. They did not understand how Jesus would have to die, and any word of their Lord's death made them sorrowful. They had Jesus now, and they never wanted him to go away, and yet he must go away. They could not understand this at first, but it was to their advantage that Jesus go away. Then he could send the Spirit to convict the world and to comfort his church. How gently Jesus deals with them and with us. He leads us as a shepherd would lead his flock. He does not demand that we know it all right now or understand all things perfectly that the truth of his word proclaims. Instead, he nurtures our faith and he feeds us day by day with his word and sacraments. And he leads us more and more into the truth. Until, like the resurrection light that transformed the disciples and wiped away their fear, his word unfolds in our hearts, working in us a strength and conviction that no one, not the world and not the devil, can overturn. See indeed how it was fulfilled in the apostles. Their sorrow was turned to joy when Jesus rose from the dead. And then when the Spirit of truth came to them on the day of Pentecost, they came to understand the fullness of Jesus in whom they had believed, and their preaching was utterly transformed. They remembered every word which Jesus spoke and everything that he did. They even knew things that were not yet to take place. They preached these things not only in Israel or in Jerusalem, but in all the world. And they glorified Jesus wherever they went. They took the things which the Spirit gave to them, the things which were the Father's, the things that were Jesus's, and they declared them to men. Their preaching was utterly unlike the popular preachers of our day. They did not preach the works and wisdom of men, or the insights for living, or any such thing. They preached Christ Jesus. They glorified his name by declaring his death and resurrection to men. They convicted men of their sins while there was still time, and they bid them to believe on Jesus and be saved. Their preaching strengthened men to look to Christ in the midst of sickness and tribulation and every trouble. And it focused their attention on the heavenly treasure which Christ has won. And the knowledge of the love of God in Jesus Christ urged them on to do ever more good works for their fellow men. And the work of that same Spirit lives and dwells among us in the preaching of the Word and in receiving the sacraments and every time we meditate upon his Word. The work of the Spirit has never ceased among us. We are a Spirit-filled church. Because we are a church filled with the word of Jesus. Jesus is here among us, convicting the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And he is still here leading us gently, like a shepherd, into all truth. May we gladly hear and learn his word, even when it stings our conscience and causes us to fall on our knees and repent. May we gladly hear his word and rejoice in the work which he now does in our hearts, knowing that it is not merely fine-sounding words, one man convincing another, but the Spirit of Jesus who dwells within us, comforting us day by day that our sins are forgiven, that we have his righteousness, and that we will escape the final judgment which will come upon the world. Let his conviction strengthen you in every trouble and assure you now and forever that you are his dear child, redeemed by his blood and made a glorious and new creation. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who did send thy Son into the world not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many, and who raised him by thy glory when he had offered the one sacrifice for sins forever, grant us a sure faith in him, that we may possess the blessed hope of eternal life. We thank thee for the multitude of thy mercy and pray that we might ever be mindful that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes from thee. Teach us that thy mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear thee, and that there is no variation or shadow of turning in all thy kindness and compassion. For thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank thee for the revelation of thy divine truth in Jesus Christ. Pour thy Spirit upon us through the engrafted word, that he may make known to us thy desire to redeem fallen mankind, and enlighten us with thy pure doctrines, that we might be justified by faith and sanctified by thy Spirit. We thank thee for the gift of thy church, the fellowship of all believers. Keep it in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Give it steadfast obedience to thy commandments. Preserve it in union with Christ Jesus and continue it in conformity with the inspired teachings of the apostles. Shower thy blessing upon it everywhere. Protect it from all its enemies. Prosper it in all its labors. For the gift of the home we give thanks to thee. Let thy Spirit dwell in each house, that love and tranquility, joy and consolation, strength and virtue may reign in undiminished glory. For the gift of our noble and pleasant land, accept our thanks, O God. Stretch forth thy holy arm to defend it inwardly and outwardly from all who would bring it shame and reproach by reason of sin, from all who would overthrow it by strife and rebellion, and from all who would assault and destroy it by war. Great art thou, O Lord, and great is thy goodness. Mighty art thou in all thy works, and glorious in thy salvation. Help us now and always to receive thy gifts with gratitude. Hear our prayers, grant us thy grace, and finally receive us into everlasting communion with thee and with thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
We sing hymn 188. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. but chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us and hath taken away the sins of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
drink.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost,
ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 46. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.